You're very welcome back to The Late Debate. Tonight we're discussing the planned changes to the junior cert examination and if our entire secondary school education system leaves students best placed or ill-equipped once they join the workforce. Joining me tonight from our Galway studio is the General Secretary of the ASTI, Pat King. Here in Dublin, our Labour TD and Chair of the Oireachtas Education Committee, Joanna Tuffy. Brian Mooney is a Guidance Counsellor and Assistant Principal at Oatlands College in Mount Merion in Dublin. And we're also joined by Catherine Donnelly, Education Editor with the Irish Independent. You're all very welcome to the programme. Up to 27,000 second-level teachers protested at the gates of their schools today, angry at the changes to the junior certificate. The government intends to replace the current system with one which is less focused on the exam at the end and more focused on continuous assessment by teachers and scope for new and different short courses in subjects like Mandarin. Minister Rory Quinn says the system will be phased in from September, but teachers say no way. These were the views of some teachers from Colossachullam in Swords near Dublin this lunchtime.
Teachers have for generations been the advocate for their pupils. To change that relationship, I believe, would endanger Irish education system. It would fundamentally also change our relationship with our parents. The parents have always been able to come and talk to us as an advocate. Now they would be coming to talk to us as a judge and jury. And in a clientelist Ireland, I believe that's a very bad thing.
Curriculum reform should be reform that is worth an independent assessment. And if the Minister is saying that our students' work at junior cycle is not worthy of that independent assessment, it's no longer needed, he is consequently devaluing the work of every student in the junior cycle system. So if the dynamic of that relationship becomes one of teaching to one of assessing, of course it's going to change. If the person giving you driving lessons is suddenly doing your driving test, of course that's going to change.
Don't forget as well that we are now saying at the age of 18 is the very first time your son or your daughter is going to be sitting a formal exam. Do they go into the final without some sort of preparation? My third year students that I was speaking to about this, one of them put up his hand and he said, "Miss, I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. I was a bit of a messer and now I'm doing the junior cert. It's making me focus and I know that I can do it and I'll feel pride in that fact that it isn't you, it's out there."
When a second year student can turn around to me and he says, "So why is my younger brother not going to get a certificate the same as me?" I think we have a problem. I think clientism probably describes it best of all. If you're living in a small regional town, an awful lot of pressure can be applied on you as a teacher to give the right result. Or even if you're in an urban area where there may be competition between several schools, in the new proposals, the amount of hours given over to science is being reduced from 240 to 200 hours. We need more time, not less. And I'm also concerned with the lack of financial support in terms of science. We use an awful lot of consumables, chemicals, glassware, etc. We need to be properly supported.
For anybody who does their leaving cert, the junior cert really has become irrelevant. Yeah. But for those 13 or 14% of our children that leave school with only the junior cert, that is the only certificate to validate their secondary school experience. So I think that's extremely reductive to that particular child. It's invalidating his education. And do you know something? My heart goes out to that child.
The views of some teachers there today from Colossachullam in Swords near Dublin. Joanna Tuffy, what do you say to all those teachers who are making very heartfelt arguments there for the retention of the system as it is?
I suppose just listening to it there, I mean, because a couple of teachers there mentioned about clientelism and, you know, like just like one of the, I suppose that accusation is made of politics. That's a very damning indictment of teachers. You know, isn't the normal case that's made for teachers by teachers is how good our teachers are, how professional they are. You know, so I just think that that's
you think they
a
should
very
be
bogus
able to withstand
kind of. Well, I just don't accept that any more than I do about it being, you know, any more particular to Ireland than any other country. I think we tend to overstate that particular phenomenon. But I mean, you see, the thing about it is there's been, why are we, you know, proposing reforms for the junior cert? The junior cert was introduced 25 years ago. You know, we need to reform it, you know, to move with the times. And, you know, there has, you know, there's been studies, and in particular, there's been a longitudinal study carried out by the SRI, which has found major flaws with our current junior certificate, and in particular students from disadvantaged backgrounds and boys are basically being found to be more likely to disengage in about second year from the whole system, and those people are less likely then to achieve in the longer term.
But do they disengage because of the current junior cert?
Well, there's a lot of study which suggests that, and you know, it's similar to studies that have been carried out about the transition of second level schools to third level, which have found that it's, you know, students find it very difficult to make that transition. And at that, you know, when academics look at this, they relate it back to rote learning in school. Now the thing about it is by having two high stakes state examinations, we're basically setting up a situation where students spend 5 years preparing for those exams. Like, there's no need for two high stakes exams. You only need the Leaving Cert because that then is used to make decisions about people going on to third level.
Step.
You do not need that at junior cert level.
Brian Mooney, Joanna made the point that the survey done by the ESRI suggests that young boys in particular start to disengage from year two at secondary school.
Okay, as somebody who's been teaching for 38 years, I'm in the system long enough to understand what's happening here. Joanna's a very young woman. She wouldn't understand what's actually occurring here. This goes back to the introduction of free education. Before free education, we had a vocational sector and we had a secondary school sector. And then when free education came in, huge numbers of students who traditionally had gone to vocational schools transferred into the secondary system, but the curriculum didn't change. So effectively, and what happened with the vocational schools, they reinvented themselves as PLC colleges, which created the PLC sector. So what you ended up with was a cohort of all across the population spectrum, all in secondary schools, all doing an academic curriculum. And as somebody in the system, right through this period, I have seen these boys that Joanna's talking about, who effectively should be doing a vocational type program. If they were in Germany, they would be in the vocational stream. They would be doing apprenticeships at 14 with BMW and with Siemens, and they would be coming out as highly qualified technicians. What the minister is doing is he's turning the entire system on its head for the 80% who have no problem with the current junior cert, for the 20% who should be in a vocational stream. And what we should be doing is creating a proper stream for those people with abilities in an integrated education system where they get the actual hands-on experience in subjects that would motivate them and give them a sense of purpose, rather than change the whole system, because that group's in the secondary system, therefore we change the whole system to accommodate them rather than dealing with their specific needs.
So you're saying the current junior cert system doesn't satisfy their needs?
Because they came into an existing system out of the vocational system, but the secondary system accepted them but didn't make curricular changes necessary, because you would have need laboratories in metalwork and woodwork and in technology and all that sort of thing, and they cost expensive, you know, a lot of money. So effectively we ended up with them maintaining the chalk and talk to a cohort that actually needed very hands-on, and that's very resource rich and very expensive. That's the problem. It's not the fact that 20% they're disengaging because they don't have a curriculum that satisfies their needs.
And that's the problem, you say, but you don't believe what Rory Quinn is proposing is the solution.
I most certainly don't. I am completely and totally committed to having a terminal exam. In this country, a terminal exam sat by everybody creates standards. It sets challenges for my colleagues and myself as teachers, because effectively somebody else corrects your paper. And if your class are not doing well out of the junior cert, your principal can say to you, well, no, you didn't do too well this year. So there's a challenge there. There's also a standardisation. And the minister has been making an argument. Look, who uses the junior cert? We got rid of the primary certificate in 1967 or 68, and who noticed? Well, I'll tell you, minister, who noticed. The 400,000 to 500,000 people who were picked up by NALA when effectively we suddenly realised we had a massive literacy and numeracy problem. These people went through the primary school system because we didn't have a primary school certificate. They drifted into the secondary system and most of them drifted out at 14. If we had had a primary school sector terminal exam, that would have picked up. And it was RTE picked that up because they ran this niche programme for people with literacy problems and suddenly found that they had a massive audience. So his argument that nobody, you know, there was no loss in having a terminal exam at the end of primary school may not in fact be correct. And I sat for 6 years on the Education Finance Board dealing with people in institutional care. If we'd had a terminal exam at the end of primary school, would those people, many of them who were doing manual work in those institutions, instead of being taught properly, would that have been picked up earlier? So, you know, making arguments about getting rid of terminal exams on the basis of who needs it, I think we need to be careful of the actual evidence here.
OK, we asked Minister Quinn to take part tonight, but he wasn't available. Joanna, you wanted to come back on that.
Well, it's just to say, like, I mean, exams should be a means, not the end. And, you know, what do we want out of our education system? We want that our, you know, our young people will learn, that they will be taught and they will learn, and they will learn to think for themselves, to be creative and all of those things. And, you know, like that's the other thing. There's a huge, you know, there's an awful lot in the junior cert reforms which are not just about the exams, and that includes, you know, there's this idea, there's 8 principles, there's 24 learning statements, and it's all about, you know, developing different skills for the students, and you know that thing of learning to think, learning to be critical, learning to be creative, learning to innovate, all of those things. And
but all of those things, Joanna, are actually supported by teachers. They came out of the NCCA process
and I agree.
The teachers completely and totally backed them. There's no argument over that.
Okay. Yeah, but I suppose the point I'm making is, if that's your objective, why get so caught up? You see, the thing is, I don't think anyone would suggest right now to bring back a primary certificate. You know, we just wouldn't do that. That way of thinking is no longer there.
Well, what about Brian's point, Joanna, that you're changing the entire system for 20%?
Well, no, we're not. We're changing it for everybody. The idea is to make the whole junior certificate better in terms of what will be the outcome for the students. It's not just the 20%. The 20% are the people that are falling by the wayside. The 80% are getting through, but that doesn't mean that it's good for them. And I mean, that's then reflected in studies when you know, for people who transition, who find it difficult to make the transition, even though they get brilliant points, they're finding it hard to make the transition from second level to third level. And there's a lot of there's a lot of consideration being given to that at the moment as well. You see, the thing is, we have gone a long way. We have now a situation where a very high percentage of our pupils stay on to leave and cert. And, you know, that's largely due to obviously the teachers and all of that. But it is to do with changes in policy along the way, mm-hmm. which included things like bringing in, things like the junior cert applied, junior cert vocational, transition year, all these different things. Lots of other things apart from that. I'm only just picking out a few headlines there. But, you know, we have people who stay on. So why do you need a high stakes state examination?
OK, well, let me ask
Pat
King
that. And put all that pressure on 15-year-olds.
Pat King, what's your answer to that?
Well, Audrey, one thing I would say is quite an extraordinary event happened today. 27,000 teachers walked out of their schools during lunch break and protested. Now, I think the public generally should take an interest in that. If 27,000 doctors were walked out of their hospitals or nurses, I think the Minister for Health and the general public would wonder, why are they doing this? They're doing this, and teachers did this today, because they are deeply concerned with the proposals in the framework for the junior cycle introduced by the Minister. They're deeply concerned about a range of things, but most particularly the abolition of the junior cert, the junior certificate as we've come to know it. We're going to have students now leaving school at age 15, 16 without a state certificate. It is grossly unfair on them that they would leave. Some of them are the children of immigrants. Some of them are children with learning difficulties. Some of them leaving for socioeconomic reasons or whatever. They're now going to leave school without an independent, objective state certificate. What they're trying to replace this with is a school-based assessment model. Teachers do not want this. Why? I mean, it is quite extraordinary that teachers are looking for external evaluation of their work. I think it's very noble of teachers to want outside people to evaluate the success or failure or whatever of their work.
But Pat, it's not about the teachers, it's about the students. And we're always told that continuous assessment is the much fairer way to assess a student's progress through school.
What is being proposed in the junior cycle, and by the way, there is much of value in the junior cycle proposals. It doesn't propose continuous assessment. That's a misunderstanding. It proposes assessment at a number of points using a number of methods. For example, in English, there's going to be assessment of oral English, there's going to be assessment of project work, and there's going to be an end of a third year terminal exam. So it's not continuous assessment, there are different assessment events going to happen. What we're saying is the assessment should be done by people outside. We want independent, objective assessment. Students are entitled to that. Parents are entitled to that. It is unfair that students would meet the first formal state exam at age 18.
Okay. Catherine Donnelly, what's your view on this?
Well, my view has been informed by, you know, all sides of the debate. I have seen the NCCA documents over the years. You know, they have been preparing for this for a number of years. They've had consultations with teachers, with unions, with pupils, with parents, and they arrived at a position where they gave advice to the minister. The minister went beyond the advice that they have given, but I think the NCCA, which is the National Council for Curriculum and Assessment, would be supportive, as I understand it, of the minister's position now. I suppose, and I'm not an educationalist, but we do know that in other countries like Finland, which would be held up as a sort of a poster boy for education internationally, they don't have exams at this point. In other countries, Australia, in the state of Victoria in Australia, they don't. Scotland is moving away from it. And some in New Zealand has moved away from it. So there would be examples of high-performing education systems that don't have a high-stakes exam such as this at that stage, for 14, 15, 16-year-olds. I suppose the other thing that's maybe just worth mentioning is that, I suppose, you know, a lot has changed in the world since the junior cert as we know it was introduced, and technology has is now part and parcel of everyday life, more so for young teenagers. And one of the among the changes being introduced now as part of the junior cycle reform would be the use of technology in teaching and in learning and in assessment. And Pat mentioned there about maybe, you know, an oral exam for English, and that might take the form of, you know, sort of a digital presentation each student would make to the class and to the teacher. Mm-hmm. Which obviously would encourage interactive learning. That's self-evident. And I suppose, from a practical point of view, if you want the system to move with the times and to use technology, children engage with technology very happily. And if you want the system to reflect that and to use the technology, I suppose it would be almost impossible for that to be done by external examiners. I don't think the numbers would be there. So that would be one practical difficulty I would see. Mm-hmm.
Brian Mooney, one person has tweeted, as if the junior cert is the only state certificate available to students. There are others. They mentioned QQI.
No, QQI is the Qualifications Authority of Ireland, who validate all qualifications. Mm-hmm. They would qualify. There is a 10 structure, qualification structure, from level 1 to level 10. Level 1 is basically literacy, and level 10 is a PhD. And the junior cert sits at level 3. The leaving cert sits at level 4-5. Then you've got a PLC course, which sits at level 5. You've got a higher certificate and an ordinary degree at university, which is 6-7. Higher degree at level 8, and then a master's at level 9, PhD at level 10. Those are the structures, but they're not available to children in school. Mm-hmm. You know, the first certification that's available to children in school is at level 3, which is the junior certificate.
So it is the only one at that age?
At that age, yes.
Okay, Joanna.
I suppose I just want to make a point. I did the intercert, right? And obviously lots of people have done the intercert. cert and then people have done the junior cert. Like, you know, you don't use that for the rest of your life when you're applying for courses or further training or when you're applying for a job. And you see, the thing about it is, like Brian's point, we have the Qualifications Authority, QQI, and they fit into the whole, you know, European idea of, you know, qualifications and being, you know, allowing transfer, access and progression. So basically, and you can basically, they're portable, that you can bring them to other EU countries. Hopefully the idea would be, you know, they would have the same kind of transfer globally. And you see, the thing is, the Leaving Cert or the Junior Cert as reformed will still be FITAC level 2 or 3. Right. You know, as Brian said, when you go to third level, initially it's 6 and 7 and 8 and so on. So like the thing is, someone who does their junior cert under the new reforms will have a FITAC level qualification that they can then build on up to right up to postgraduate level. I don't think you could say the same about the inter cert or the junior cert that came afterwards. So that's just one point. Now, the other thing about it is because my committee went and looked at the education system in Finland. And, you know, as Catherine says, you know, it's doing very well. It doesn't have a state exam until you go to the higher second level. So at 19 is generally the age that you do the state level exam in Finland. And yet they are performing very well in international tables in terms of literacy, mathematical skills and so on. And their teaching is a very high status profession, which is what we are trying to move towards here. And the thing is, in Finland, they trust the teachers to even develop their own curriculum. Once it fits in the national framework, and then there's a local municipal level of detail, and then the schools can actually develop their own curriculum. And in the new junior cert reforms, there's a level of that in terms of the short courses. So, you know, that should actually improve. For all that talk about clientelism, the new junior cert reforms should help make the status of teaching much better. And of course, that's good for our teaching system as a whole.
Do you accept that, Pat King?
What I would say is that people should trust the teachers and trust the view of the teachers on this matter, because this is exactly the matter for which they're trained and which they're most knowledgeable. Ireland is doing extremely well in terms of the success of the Irish education system. Ireland, in the recent PISA results, have come out very high in the top 5 for reading, in the top 10 for science, and almost in the top 10 for mathematics. So we're doing something right. The other thing I would point out is that nobody was calling for the abolition of the junior cert. The NCCA, which is the body charged with advising the minister, was not calling for the abolition of the junior cert. They wanted to retain an external evaluated examination system. The teachers certainly did not want the abolition of the junior cert. Parents didn't ask for it. We got a political decision by the minister. It came as a bombshell in February 2012. And we said this at the time, this is unacceptable. There was no basis for the change. It was a decision taken by the minister. I don't know who advised him. It wasn't the advice of the NCCA or of the practitioners, the teachers. So our view is that if you want to maintain standards that are consistent between one school and another, we're now going to move towards a situation where a student in one school will get a grade and they will not know if that grade has the same currency in another school. You will end up with 750 schools in the country. They could all have varying standards.
But why does that matter, really, Pat? I mean, who will that matter to, apart from students and their parents?
From students and their parents. They are entitled to know. Parents are entitled to know about the progress of their children. Teachers are entitled to have an external opinion on how successful or how successful their teaching is with students. Students are entitled to know. Unless you have an external opinion. I mean, we apply this to every other walk of life, that you don't become a judge in your own case. And the students are entitled to an external opinion. Otherwise, they will be facing this massive hurdle for the first time in their lives at age 18 with no previous experience of an examination of that nature. It's unfair on students.
And that you share that view, Brian Mooney, don't you? That is why the Junior Cert is still important to retain as an exam.
I believe that the external assessment is absolutely invaluable because it does, as Pat says, give every teacher a standard against which they are measured. And therefore, it maintains, you know, a transparency around the system. I mean, it was just occurring to me there, as Pat was saying, we've had a major report tonight in relation to the penalty point system, etc. And they're talking about removing the opportunity for people at local areas to be making decisions about cancelling and bringing it back to a centralised system. In other words, transparency, where decisions could be taken at a local level, they were finding that maybe decisions were being taken that were not appropriate. It's the same argument, really. Mm. Take away from the local school the opportunity to in any way influence the quality of the results that the children get. Have it as a transparent national system where everybody at the end of the day has been evaluated. The teacher's been evaluated, the student has been evaluated, and it's been evaluated on a single national standard set by the SEC in the marking schemes. Therefore, it is clean and it's transparent. If you start putting it back to the individual schools, you may find in 10 years' time we start having investigations as to, you know, why things are being done at local level, to, you know, that may be under pressure from various parents or whatever. Whereas when it's transparent and national, that can't happen.
Joanna.
Well, there is a level of self-evaluation in the proposals as they stand, in that there will be monitoring by the Department of Education and its inspectorate. And maybe that can be, you know, built upon in terms of, I suppose, any future talks between the teacher unions and the minister. Because, like, for example, in Finland, and just to make the point, like, external evaluation does not have to be a state exam. So just to make that point. But in Finland, they do have external evaluation. And what they do is they go and they basically, on a yearly basis, they go and assess a particular subject or group of subjects at a time. So 1 year they might do, you know, assess maybe English and science, and then they'll move on to something else. So, you know, there's a continuous monitoring of, you know, the standards and the quality and so on. So, like, there is room, I think, for negotiation in terms of that. But, I mean, I do think, you know, like, you know, we have, like, I mean, teachers at primary level assess their students, and obviously at university and further education. And then, you know, we have that overall body for standards and quality, which is the QQI. And, you know, the Junior Cert will fit into that. So there's a level of external monitoring as it is. And that could be possibly built upon, I would feel.
Joanna refers to Finland. I mean, every country has a different system and a different culture. For example, in Finland, they have no inspection as we do in Ireland. So, I mean, maybe the people in Finland should be demanding school inspections as we have in Ireland. So there are different systems that work in different countries because there are different cultures and different traditions. I would also point out schools and school principals are saying we are not ready for this change. We are not prepared for this change. We do not have the resources to introduce these changes. 50% of principals that we surveyed said we're not ready, it can't be done. Teachers of English who are introducing this new programme next September, which is a few short months away, have been given 1 day's training, 1 day's in service to prepare for this. It is impossible in the space of 1 day to change inside out the way that you teach, the way that you assess. It's just not possible. Project Maths was introduced a couple of years ago, and teachers were given 9 days of in-service training to prepare them for the change. And this hasn't happened with English. It's not going to happen. We've no faith that it's going to happen with the other subjects either.
Joanna, aren't they right on that point? Whatever you think of their other arguments, in terms of the time given to prepare, it's completely inadequate.
Well, I suppose just to pick up one point Pat said, I mean, he talked about the school inspectorate. We had the head of the school inspection service into the committee recently, and he explained to us how self-evaluation by the teachers, principals, board of management and so on is a huge part of school inspection. So that's part of that system. So why can't it be part of the junior cert? Now, in relation to the timing, like concerns of Pat and others have already been taken into account. Like the there was an implementation report published by the department at the beginning of the year in January, and that has already made changes to the phasing of the junior cert reforms. And the thing about it is it is going to take a long period of time to introduce all of the reforms. I mean, under the latest proposals, the final reforms will basically be delivered by 2019-2020, the academic year 2019-2020. So, like, that has been brought out. And the reforms that are to take place this year, which is basically the revised English curriculum, will be introduced for students entering first year in September. You know, like this year, there has been change as well. So the phasing has been slowed down, and it is over a long period as it stands, mm-hmm. and it's very gradual. You know, and schools are going to get a lot of help. There's also been improvements made to the level of training that teachers will get and the supports. And, you know, more work can be done, but the only way to do that is actually for the minister and the teachers' unions to sit down and talk.
Okay, Kathleen.
Yeah, no, I suppose it's very clear that teachers are nervous and apprehensive about the change and about assessing their own students. And I think it's very true to say that there's a huge trust in teachers. The public here have huge trust in teachers. And the work that teachers do, the teaching that they do, that's how they're judged. And they're maybe a little bit nervous about moving, you know, taking on this new role. And it is an area that is not as well developed in terms of teacher education, if at all, really, as, you know, straightforward teaching. And I think in his recent visit to Joanna's committee, the chief inspector acknowledged that fact, that assessment, you know, teaching teachers to assess their own students was an area that was, you know, less well developed than other other skills that they have. And obviously more work needs to be done in that area to give them the confidence and the skills to allow them feel, you know, more comfortable
but
about
Brian,
doing that work.
But are teachers not assessing their students all the time? I mean, why is this such a dramatic change?
Because teachers are assessing their students in house examinations up through first, second and third year to prepare them for the external assessment that they will meet at junior cert level. So it's a preparation for that. Then the students have a year and transition year in which they learn a whole basket of other skills, which helps them develop those skills before they go into the leaving cert, where again, teachers will assess them in fifth and sixth year as preparation for the final terminal examination. But in a sense, the assessment within the schools is judging them in relation to the standards that they're going to need to meet the junior cert and then the leaving cert. It's a big ask to ask a child at 12 years of age in a secondary school to be preparing them for an assessment that's going to happen in 6 years' time. So in a sense, the one at the end of three gives a kind of a halfway stage in terms of your overall educational development. I mean, Joanna's talking here in terms of the reforms. I believe that all teachers, the vast majority of teachers throughout the country, are absolutely committed to reform. You know, I've been in education for 38 years. I've seen reform develop right through the system all the time. Teachers are hungry to give their children the best quality education. If we're going to be making changes, teachers are open to be trained in that. But providing teachers with one day training for a complete change in the methodology just shows the paupacy of the resources. We're talking about a system that over the last 5 years, and obviously every department has suffered these cuts, but over the last 5 years has been stripped back to the bone. I am a guidance counsellor. I work in this system as a guidance counsellor. Every single resource for guidance counsellors was removed by the state in 2012. So the schools now have to carry the whole guidance counselling service out of the teaching hours in the school, not out of the... And yet, at the same time, the minister is talking about putting resources into the system. So before we look at resourcing the system to the point where we can actually deliver effective change, we have to look at what's going to happen. One day for an English teacher, and they said by the time the whole programme is rolled out, maybe 4.5 days training. My God, 4.5 days training for an entire change in the system, where effectively the current system has problems. We talked about the 20%, but effectively it is working very effectively for the vast majority of children, and the quality of standard that is measured by, look at the international response of multinational companies that are coming into Ireland in their droves in the area of high technology. Why are they doing it? Because they have quality students coming out of our second level and our third level system. Let's not make major changes without really reflecting. The minister was advised by the NCCA in relation to many of these developments, which the teaching profession completely accepts. We want training, we want proper preparation, but we accept and we welcome these changes. The minister was not advised to get rid of the terminal examination. I think he needs to step back and think of the implications of this, and I think we need to maybe have a period of reflection, because if we take it away, it will be impossible to restore it, and the damage could be in the system for years to come.
Okay, we'll continue the discussion after this break. You're welcome back to The Late Debate. We're discussing the planned changes to the junior certificate examination. With me tonight is Labour TD and Chair of the Oireachtas Education Committee, Joanna Tuffy, Guidance Counsellor and Assistant Principal, Brian Mooney from Galway, the General Secretary of the ASTI, Pat King. And we're also joined here in Dublin by Catherine Donnelly, Education Editor with the Irish Independent. I'll just read some texts before we go any further. The system is already too dumbed down, says one texter. With continuous assessment, they will all be getting grade A's. Half of them have literacy problems. Another texter says, why would pampered teachers want to cooperate with a change to the examination system? Supervising and correcting exams is a great earner on top of their salaries and their 3 month holidays. Edward says, many of the changes are good. I just don't want to assess my own students. It changes an important relationship. And one other texter for the moment, educate, educate, but no maturity. They come out of the machine as babies. Talk to any first year lecturer. It's time to park teachers' egos. Pat King, what do you say to that?
I think it's unfair to make comments about teachers. Teachers took action today, action that didn't in any way impinge on the students. We did this during lunchtime, during the half-hour break at lunchtime, in order not to affect students. We did it to draw attention of the public to our concerns. Brian Mooney said it, teachers assess students every day. Every time you walk into a classroom, you're constantly assessing your students. But what we don't do is assess them for a certificate. I was a Department of Education examiner for 20 years when I was a teacher. I don't think the public fully understand the complexity of and the of the exam system, the care of the exam system, how examiners operate, how state examiners operate, how they're monitored, how they must send samples onto their advising examiners, how the advising examiners send them onto the chief examiner, how they have to be revised again, and so forth. This is a very complex operation. Assessing and coming up with fair results is not a simple activity. And to for the minister to say, yeah, we'll get rid of all that and let teachers do it in schools, you will end up with variation between one school and another. I'm very surprised that a minister wouldn't see the danger of having my cert in my school devalued because of the name of my school, as opposed to some other school in a well-heeled area of South Dublin. It's unacceptable, because at the moment, the state cert has currency right across the country. It doesn't matter what school you went to, it doesn't matter who your father is or who your mother is, you can depend on the objectivity and fairness of the state cert, and that's what we're trying to retain.
Joanna?
Well, just on that, I mean, I would ask Pat, what currency does the junior cert have? You know, like, what does the student do with it? You know, it doesn't get you into college. You know, like, you're not going to lose the fact that the qualification is a VTEC level 3. So, like, you know, to me, the arguments against getting rid of the state examination are largely, to me, phrased in very negative terms, like, you know, you can't trust, or it'll devalue, it'll be looked down upon, you know, the students won't study, all of that kind of stuff. Like, that's very negative. What is the value of the state exam? I just don't see that. It is not a high stakes exam. It is not at the stage of the education where you need that high stakes kind of exam. And, you know, the fact that it's a state examination makes it, you know, apparently a high stakes exam when it's not. It doesn't have currency.
Apart from the fact that it's VTEC level three. I'll bring you in a second, Brian. Go ahead, Pat.
For the 10% who leave, therefore, they have nothing.
Well, they'll have a VTEC level 3 either way, and that's all that really counts. It doesn't matter whether you get an A or a B. It's do you have a VTEC level 3 qualification or not, that then you can build on with a VTEC level 4, 5, 6, 7 and 8.
They have no certification that shows they have succeeded in an independent objective examination.
But is VTEC level, are they objective or not? They're recognised, you know, whether it's at university level or if you go to a VC school. Like, are they worth nothing? Is VTEC level 4 worth nothing? VTEC level 5 if it comes out of a PLC or whatever? You know what I mean? Either those things count or they don't.
You will end up with 750 different examination standards. Parents want to know with certainty how their students, how their children are doing. Children and students are entitled to an objective measure of their achievement. And the 10% who leave are entitled to a state certificate. And that's our view.
I can also, Pat, just want to concur. One of the things I want to point out to Joanna, she's asked a very vital question. What value is this? Every single guidance counsellor in the country is now sitting down with the transition year students, and they are looking at the most important decision those students have ever made in their life, which is the basket of subjects that they are going to take for their leaving cert and the levels at which they're going to take it. The base standard on which all of those decisions are taken is the student's performance in a national examination called the Junior Certificate. Did you get a higher level C or higher in Irish? That therefore should determine the level you take Irish at the Leaving Cert. How did you do in maths? Was it foundation? Was it ordinary? Was it higher level at the national standard? That therefore determines. Therefore, when a child is going into fifth year and has made all those choices, which are going to determine the rest of their life, it is based on their performance in a nationalised standard examination, which enables the child and the parents with total clarity to see the child's ability level in a standardised exam. You take away the standardised exam, and therefore you've no base on which to measure each of those children's decisions in terms of the appropriate subjects and levels that they're taking their Leaving Certs at, and that, at the Leaving Cert level, is going to determine their entire future.
That's a fair point, Joanna, isn't it?
Well, at the same time, schools themselves make autonomous decisions about who gets into higher level and who gets into what course and who's allowed to do transition year and so on. So, like, it's not like there's a consistent application.
The students make the decisions themselves on the basis of their performance, assisted by the principals. My job as a guidance counsellor in Oaklands College is to enable the students to make those choices. The school has no role whatsoever in interfering with those choices of those students. The school will provide the levels to which the students choose based on their performance and ability levels. Therefore, it's the child's decision based on the evaluation of the junior cert performance.
But there's no national scheme in terms of that, and there's no, you know, there isn't some kind of consistent decision-making process in that regard. And I mean, the thing about it is if this is done properly, as is the model in other countries, surely what results and what outcome comes out of the reformed junior cert will also help students and teachers to make an informed decision. Like, I just feel there's an awful lot about this that is about, you know, not trusting our own teachers and students. And at the same time, it's contradictory. It's kind of saying how great our system is, but we don't trust our teachers and students if we reform it.
It's not about trusting them. It's about creating a national standard in which the child can measure themselves against national performance and the teacher can measure their teaching against a national performance, and it is therefore a very positive aspect that there is such transparency. The point I was making a few minutes ago in relation to the report today relating to the penalty points thing shows what happens if you allow local decisions to be taken rather than the national transparent standard.
But it's not to put an awful lot of, you know, at stake in terms of, you know, a two-hour exam, whereas the whole system is being reformed to make it a much longer and more, you know, kind of thoughtful process where there's assessment and so
teachers
on.
Will support yeah. that and be yeah. completely comfortable with it so long as it's externally assessed.
Catherine Donnelly.
Yeah, just in terms of, you know, giving children and their parents a view of how they stand, it's probably worth noting that as part of the reforms, they'll be bringing in the what's known as standardised testing in three key subjects. I think it's English, maths and science. Now, we already have that at 3 points in primary level, I think second, fourth and sixth classes. And what that does is it sort of allows students sit the tests and they as a result of sitting the test, they know where they stand, what their performance levels are vis-a-vis their peers. So that, along with any, you know, any view that teachers would have about students' performance and achievement levels, the standardised testing would offer a sort of further indication of where individual students stood.
And Joanna, bearing in mind what Brian just said there in terms of using the junior certificate as a way of measuring a student's progress and ability when it comes to the Leaving Cert, and going back to what you said at the very outset in terms of the junior cert needing reform and trying to change the way we educate our young people, if you don't reform the Leaving Certificate, does any of this matter? Will any of this have any impact?
Well, I suppose, that is probably the next step, although I would accept that an exam at that stage should be a state exam, you know, and that's quite common throughout the world that the exam at that stage of education will be a state one. But actually, I should just make the point as well, I suppose, for people listening, there will be state exams, you know, at the beginning of these reforms for maths, Irish and English. So just to make that point, state examinations will remain in place for those three subjects
and
for a period of time.
I would ask Joanna, why? Why is the minister retaining independent state exam for English, Irish and maths and abandoning it for everything else? Why is he doing
well,
that?
And I would answer my own question.
Well, just let Joanna answer it first, Pat.
Well, I suppose those are because those are the three compulsory subjects and it's linked up with the whole need to make sure there's a level of competency in, mathematical and literacy for students. But I mean, I suppose I would just go back as well. Like, I think there is a, you know, somewhere in between the thing of a state examination and external evaluation, and that's really where the discussion should be taken, as opposed to whether or not we need to keep a state exam or not.
I asked why did the minister retain the state exam for English, Irish and maths, 60% of the grade, and you said to make sure there's a level of competency, and that's exactly
in
our
the three
point.
And three care
we
care
want
care
that
care
we
areas.
No yeah. no it's equally important for some students, history, maths, history, music, art. There are other subjects. There's no hierarchy of subjects. And students are entitled to that independent evaluation of competency in all of the subjects. Our view is that teachers have been very concerned for a number of years about these proposals. But the way I see it, the debate is only now starting amongst parents. And there's a great deal of interest today, and the interest has arisen because of the action of the teachers. So what we would say to the minister is defer this proposal for a year. There's nothing magical about 2014. Defer it. Let's sit down. Discuss it. Discuss it with the experts. Teachers happen to be experts in this area.
Yeah, you see, I think there's a lot about this that, when Pat looks for a deferral, it's like, you know, it reminds me of that phrase, you know, there's a train coming down the tracks and you're either in front of it or you're on it. And I think there's an awful lot of that about, the teachers' unions in this regard. Like, this has been long planned. There have been many years' work put into this, and there are other stakeholders, not just the teachers' unions. And, you know, like, to suggest it would be deferred, you know, like it's a long...
I think what Pat is suggesting, Joanne, is deferring the abolition of the terminal exam. Nobody's asking for a deferral of a modernisation of the junior cert. Nobody's asking for a deferral of a modernisation of the introduction of new curriculum. We're looking for proper training and in-service for that.
That's unreasonable. I mean, it doesn't make sense for, because like this year, you know, it's largely the English curriculum will start. It's first years coming in September that this will start for. So they won't be doing, you know, finishing their junior cert until 2017. And there will still be a state examination. So there is plenty of time to see how this is working out and to negotiate. But to suggest that you start deferring at this stage when there have been pilot schemes and so many years' work involving many stakeholders involved, you know, is not helpful, I would feel. But I think the most important thing of all is just to try and sit down and talk about it. But the fact is, you know, students need certainty. It is already the case that English is coming in next year. It will be a state exam. And to suggest that that will be deferred at this stage, after all the work and all of the years and that it's going to take place, you know, it's just, you know, I think there's an issue about being conservative here, whereas I think maybe, you know, there's a need to, you know, say, well, OK, we have common ground and we believe that the overall reform idea is good, and to sit down and work out whatever problems are left there, but not to start saying defer it at this stage after years of work.
There's no common ground on the issue of whether or not we should have an independent, objective evaluation. The decision of the minister to abolish the junior cert was only taken little over 12 months ago. We'd had years of work on the junior cycle changes leading up to that. And then we had the bombshell October, just over 12 months ago. A private decision, as far as I'm concerned, by the minister. It wasn't based on any advice from the NCCA. The NCCA Council knew nothing about it. Teachers knew nothing about it. It was announced at a press conference by the minister. That's not the way to run an education system. And we're saying, hold it. You cannot take a risk. It's too serious. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. And it's too late to find out in 3 or 4 years' time we got this wrong.
But you see, it at this stage, this is very much the two teachers' unions that are, you know, resisting this. It's not everybody in society. And, you know, like I would say, like, there's so much change. Like, I mean, Catherine was talking about it. There's so much change happening in education. You know, like, you can go online and do a course in Harvard now, you know, from sitting in your sitting room in Dublin, and you can get certification for it, you know, and like there's no external evaluation of the kind you talk about, but these are qualifications in, you know, the top ranking universities in the world.
There's an independent standard.
The point is, and we have an international standard too. It doesn't have to be a state examination that gives it that standard. But the point I'm making there, Pat, is there's so much change and we have to adapt and we have to move with the times.
And teachers
and
welcome
change.
And
it is very
change.
Much the whole
teachers
idea.
Welcome change,
just
Joanne.
Like we got rid of the primary cert many years ago. And I just don't think anyone would suggest to bring it back. You know, time is now to move on from the idea of a state exam halfway through our senior
teachers,
or second level
teachers
cycle.
Teachers welcome change, Joanne. Teachers welcome new technology. Teachers welcome the opportunities that are available to online learning. Teachers welcome curriculum development. The only issue that Pat is making the point and I'm making the point about is the value of having a transparent, externally assessed exam so that everybody can see what's happening in each individual class, in each individual school, and every parent has the value of realising that the transparency of the exam gives their child a quality of education, which I believe is second to none in the world.
Well, just to finish, I suppose, what I would say, you know, in terms of where I would agree with Brian and Pat is that there should, you know, the thing of the external evaluation, if people are not happy in terms of the level of external evaluation, I don't mean a state exam, what I mean is external monitoring. Well, that is something that could be built upon. But I just think that it is unreasonable to think that we will hold on to a state exam for junior cert.
Okay, let me just read you some more text from our listeners. Sean in Cork says, I taught for 37 years and regretted the loss of the primary cert every year. It would help parents face reality regarding their child's actual ability. Another texter says, the whole third level education system is based on externally monitoring and internally examined courses. It's called professional teaching. Another one says, France decided to retain an externally marked junior cert for the sake of equality. Teachers, students and parents in disadvantaged areas were most vocal in favour of retaining the exam. And a last one for tonight. In Finland, teachers undertake continuous training while their students are on holidays. Here, teachers take 3 months off. Our Department of Education should learn from Finland. That would never happen here, Pat, would it?
We have a much longer teaching hour, much more teaching hours in Ireland than in Finland. I mean, you know, it's very easy to throw out comments like that. We're way above the OECD average in terms of hours of teaching of our students, hours that teachers spend teaching. The concern is, and I really want people to listen to teachers, they are deeply concerned about their students and they're deeply concerned about these proposals. There's no particular value for teachers in this concern. It's a concern for students.
And I want to make the point also that the 3 months holidays of teachers, the month of June, huge numbers of them are supervising the junior cert and the leaving cert. And in the month of July, huge numbers of them are correcting the junior cert and the leaving cert. So effectively, the teacher gets about 4 weeks at the end of the summer. So forget about the 3 months.
I don't think you'll be getting much sympathy from our audience. But nonetheless, Brian, thank you very much indeed. Just a quick look at tomorrow morning's front page of the Irish Times is all we have to hand tonight. Flannery got €60,000 a year to lobby for charity. Arthur Beasley is writing, former Fine Gael strategist Frank Flannery was paid €60,000 a year by a charity in a campaign to seek tax changes from the government to boost philanthropic donations from wealthy people. And a picture of Christine Buckley, who died today. The campaigners' bravery and self-sacrifice praised. And Brian, you knew Christine.
Christine and I worked together. We were both appointed by Minister Mary Hanafin to the Education Finance Board to deal with the needs of former residents. And I just want to acknowledge her huge contribution to those people who did suffer. And she did a phenomenal job on their behalf.
Okay. Brian, thank you very much indeed. Thanks to Joanna Tuffy, to Catherine Donnelly and to Pat King in Galway. We're back at 10 tomorrow night. Till then, from all the team, good night.